shares, market,
the S&P,
the ASX stocks.
This is Motley Fool Money.
Welcome to Motley Fool Money and a special Motley Fool Money bonus episode because we are the podcast that likes millionaires. In fact, we'd like to be millionaires, we'd like to make millionaires, and you have a very specific chance to join those ranks. As you know, we're part of the Triple M family here at Triple M's Motley Fool Money, and the network is doing a pretty cool competition. In fact, they're giving listeners the chance to win $1 million. That'd be all right, Doug.
That sounds fantastic.
As you heard,
it's a great opportunity.
I'm Scott Phillips, and with me is Anirban Mahanty for this special bonus episode. We're part of the family of the Triple M. We're doing the competition. We thought, hey, what better opportunity to talk about, fantasize about, think about the chance to win $1 million, but also talk a little bit about the financial implications, opportunities, all that kind of good stuff. Now, the bosses upstairs at Triple M, I love them dearly, and hopefully they're not listening when I tell you they're not exactly numbers guys. They're great on the programming, they're great on the music. I'm a huge fan of the network, but it's not kind of their thing. So they've asked us to just give you a few tips on what to do if you are lucky enough to win the $1 million, and if you're interested, I'm sure you are, make sure you do enter the competition as you have the opportunity. And of course, if you aren't a Triple M listener yet, this is a very, very good chance. Big fan of the music, big fan of the podcast, big fan of the network. Get involved in Triple M. And plus it gets me a chance to do Triple M, which I really, really like.
Triple M.
I really shouldn't, but it's just part of my childhood, Doc. I grew up listening to Triple M, Club Veg at night, Ugly Phil, Uncle Doug Mulray, of course. A wonderful, wonderful network, and we're very excited to be part of the family. Now, hopefully, our listeners have just programmed their radios, their computers, their streaming services for the Triple M network in your particular capital city, in your market. But let's get into the realities of $1 million, a seven-figure future, Doc.
Ooh.
Now, you can work hard, you can do a lot of good stuff to try and earn $1 million, or you can get really lucky and end up with $1 million. And we know that plenty of people who've taken the second route, have won the lotto, have won a competition, have all of a sudden found themselves with an inheritance, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them lose that money pretty bloody quickly.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a horrible stat. There's even football players, professional football players in the US who've gone from tens of millions of dollars a year in contracts to then being effectively, well, literally broke, bankrupt, because they just have done a terrible, terrible job of managing their money. So let's fantasize for a sec, mate. Let's say the good people in Triple M, as well as giving one of our listeners $1 million, also decide in their wisdom to give us $1 million each. What are the things we shouldn't do? Where are the mistakes that people make when it comes to blowing a windfall like $1 million you could win from Triple M?
Mm. So you want me to answer that?
I would like you to answer.
But, you know, my understanding is that, you know, we are not participating in this one. We are not eligible to participate.
I haven't been told that yet. I'm not giving that up yet. I may call in.
So I can't even get in.
Oh, well, we haven't been told officially we can't. So okay. Let's assume that, you know.
All right. Okay, so I have a chance.
There was always a chance. So I do think they would probably make us give it back if we won, but that's a different story. Let's assume for a second that we can enter,
yeah,
and that you win $1 million. What shouldn't you do? What are the big mistakes that people make with money that takes a windfall like this and kind of leaves them wishing they'd done things differently?
So one of the things that happens to people who, you know, get rich quickly or suddenly is that they, you know, then they have a lot of friends who come and advise them. A lot of people come and advise them what to do. But one of the things that happens to people is that, you know, they get advised about, you know, investing in that business or this business or this, you know, entrepreneurship or, you know, this enterprise that is going to turn that money, $1 million, into 10 million or even 100 million, right? And the promise of 100 million sounds almost better than 1 million, right? Then people forget that 1 million is a lot of money.
So is greed the first problem?
Greed is definitely the first problem. And you should not get into anything that you don't know about when you've got that windfall. Don't do that. That's kind of bizarre, right? That's bizarre.
You get $1 million and they go, I think I'm going to try and make more.
you said NFL players, right? You know, somebody goes and buy a horse stable. I mean, what do you know about horses? You know, you play
fast cars.
You know,
yeah.
Well, fast cars. Okay, I can understand a fast car. Would you buy
a Tesla with your $1 million?
Oh, of course. But that's not only, you know, that's not only going to cost like a 10% of that money, right? Or less, maybe.
So,
number one, don't get into enterprises or don't get into adventures that you have no idea about.
Right.
Don't lever up or leverage up, right? A lot of people would, you know, hey, I've got $1 million. Now I can take a loan of $10 million and do something else with it.
Oh,
I can change this 10 plus 1 into like 100. Right, and that doesn't work that way.
All right, so don't assume you have expertise. Don't get in too deep. don't borrow even more, which, yeah. you know what the most bizarre thing is? These are real problems that people actually have. It feels silly to talk about them because it's like, who the hell does that?
Yeah.
The reality is those people
A lot of people do.
Exactly. Matt, all right. So don't assume you got expertise. Don't leverage up. What else shouldn't people do if and when? I'm sure it'll be our listeners who win because, you know, we've got many listeners and they'll now start listening to Triple M and hopefully win that money and tell us all about it.
Well, don't give your money to your uncle, your friend, your maybe even your children who promise that they're going to turn it into something without actually knowing what they're going to do.
So all the experts come out of the woodwork who are happy to give you advice.
Everybody becomes an expert at that point because, you know, you've got $1 million, right? So I think being prudent about... Mm-hmm. The funds you've got is, I think, the number one thing.
What about telling people? Would you counsel our listeners not to mention to anybody? How would you go about sharing or not sharing that news?
Oh, well, personally, I would not tell anyone, actually. People would not even see a dramatic change in my lifestyle.
Come on. The Tesla would give it away, dude.
Well, but you know, you can buy a Tesla on a loan, right? I mean, whether I paid cash for it or whether I took it out on my credit card, nobody knows, right? I mean,
$200,000 credit limit on your credit card—that's impressive.
I'm just giving an example, right? I mean, I am pretty sure that every person who drives a Mercedes or a BMW, you know, not everyone is a millionaire, right? So I'm pretty sure about that, and I'm pretty sure that you and I can walk up to the dealership and buy one, and I'm sure credit will show up from somewhere. So I think those things don't tell. I would also not, you know, for example, go and buy a fancy house or a fancy property or a fancy, race course or a fancy farm, right?
There's a key theme going through. Don't be fancy. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, my thing is, don't be fancy. You know, don't dramatically change what you're doing today.
Right.
Because that's almost always the recipe for trouble.
It's funny, you know, there's a great quote. I think it might be from one of our ex-fools in the US, Morgan Housel, who's still a friend of the fool. He says, most people don't want to be millionaires. Most people want to spend $1 million.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? You can spend the money that's gone. So people want to spend $1 million. That's different from actually being a millionaire, which by definition means you have to keep it. Otherwise, you're no longer a millionaire. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So don't leverage up. Don't be fancy. Don't listen to Uncle Bob.
Don't listen to Uncle Bob.
Is that the key? Key advice from you for things not to do?
Yeah, and I think don't get involved in businesses that you have no idea about. Don't do stuff that you have no idea about. First thing, actually, after you become a millionaire, first thing you should do is study where you're going to invest it. Spend maybe like a year trying to study.
Oh, hang on. You're going to my next question now, dude. You're stealing my thunder.
Okay.
Right. I will agree with all of those things you said, mate. I think the problem with people is effectively don't move too fast is the first thing I'd say. And I think that kind of goes to your answer. I think... In terms of, don't step outside your circle of competence, which again talks about your idea of not be too fancy. Keep it simple, right? Don't get carried away. I think sometimes it's easy to think about as it's spending $1 million rather than having $1 million as different things. If you want to be a millionaire, you have to stay a millionaire. So spending money, particularly on assets that don't produce anything, as you talked about, cars, racehorses, farms, Teslas. It's really important not to get carried away. Mm. The last thing you want to be is the person who used to be a millionaire. Much, much more fun to still be
the millionaire.
A millionaire.
Motley Fool Money. Financial advice for real people, not trust fund hippies. Sign up for the newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
Let's get into what you should do. So we've gone through the don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
This bit's much more fun, right? Mm-hmm. This is the how to keep $1 million. We're going to growing it a little bit. So let's talk about the things you should do. So I don't call you. Someone else calls you because I don't have the authority to give away $1 million. Although if Triple M wants to hire me as their barrel girl, I'm sure we could come to an arrangement. Let's assume you get the phone call, and a phone rings. You say hello, this is Doc, and you hear, Doc, congratulations, you've drawn $1 million.
Yoo-hoo!
And the money drops in your bank account.
Ooh.
Seven figures, you look up internet bank, it's like, man, the screen's not big enough. I've got to get my big 27-inch screen, look at all those zeros.
Mm-hmm.
Then, what do you do?
Mm. So, so number one thing I would do is if someone's got high interest debt, I would pay that off.
And what, describe or define high interest for us?
So like credit card debt, for example, right? If you've got credit card debt, even maybe a car loan that you're paying like 9%, 10%, I would pay that.
Okay.
Right. Now, assuming that you don't have $1 million of a loan like that, I would assume that you'd still have a substantial amount.
Even a Tesla debt, you could pay for $1 million.
Yeah. And exactly. And even if you have a Tesla and you'd be able to pay that off. Right. So I'd pay off.
And tell me why, mate. Why is it important to pay off that debt?
Well, first, I mean, first, why pay the interest on a high interest loan, right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense, right? Yep. When you've got the money sitting in a bank, and the, you know, as number one point, right? I mean, you really have to earn that kind of interest to actually make it worthwhile for you to actually have that loan, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd say it reduces risk, reduces leverage. It makes you, I think, you know, sleeping better at night is very important.
Right.
It makes you comfortable. You already feel good about the fact that you don't have these loans, right?
it's kind of nice to know people can't take stuff away from you. Right? If you've got a loan over something, the bank can always come and take something or drag you through some financial trouble. If you don't owe anything to anybody, that's kind of the definition of freedom, right?
Exactly. You know, and I would say that, you know, I would put the home aside. I'd say that, you know, and maybe, you know, everyone...
So you wouldn't pay off the mortgage?
I wouldn't. I mean, the mortgage you're paying like what, you know, if you're really looking hard, you might be even paying like 3.5% to maybe 4%.
Right? If our listeners are paying more than... This is a horrible, horrible tangent. Yeah. If our listeners are paying more than 4%, firstly, give yourself an uppercut. Secondly, call your bank and get it renegotiated.
Exactly. So, I mean, between 3.5% and 4%, you can get a home loan. So that, I think, is what I would, you know, I would personally go and maybe pay down some just to, again, you know, I like feeling good about that, and that it gives me the feeling. And you can, you know, with most of our things, we have got an offset account and we can redraw the amount and things like that.
But tell me why you wouldn't pay the whole, like, you're talking about paying off high interest debt and feeling free, and I get that.
Yeah.
And then you're not necessarily paying the whole mortgage off, why not?
Yeah, but because I think, you know, being the share market guy, and I'm you know, I'm doing a horrible self-promotion, I think you can invest in the market, and you can invest in relatively, you know, over the long term in a less risky way and still deliver yourself, you know, 10-11% and maybe 9-11% somewhere in that range returns.
So you're getting an instant 4% return if you pay off the mortgage, but you might be able to invest that same dollar or $10 or $100 or $1,000 in something that returns 9 or 10% instead.
Yeah.
And so mathematically you're better off doing that and actually getting the surplus returns than paying down the debt.
Exactly. So, you know, I'd pay down some. I mean, you know, if I'd only paid 10%, I'd pay down some.
Okay.
After I paid down some, I would, you know, look to invest it in the market, and that would be my way of going about it, right? And I would maybe even split the funds and, you know, pick some low risk things and maybe some higher risk things, and, you know,
we'll get into that in a second. Don't steal my thunder again.
Okay.
Man.
Okay. I just want to be useful.
More than I'm doing, mate. I'm just asking the questions around here. I'll throw my couple of bob in. I think the very first thing I would do if I won the $1 million is nothing. quite literally nothing, right? So what most people make is they go, $1 million, great, I'm going to spend it.
Mm.
And then you have regret 2, 3, 4, 6 months later of like, oh man, I blew that cash, right? I really didn't need that new Tesla Model S, for example. So taking your time, you know, we've all got that fantasy, right? Of what would you do if we win $1 million? You kind of think you know. And the money turns up. And what a lot of people, and back to the first question, a lot of people, they waste the money or lose the money because lots of little expenses pop up. Yeah, I can blow $10,000 on some jewelry. I can blow another $100,000 on a car. And of course, the cars are depreciating assets, right? So you spend your $100,000 now, it's worth $50,000 in a couple of years' time. That's an expensive loss. That's literally money just blown up. People spend money out of the feeling they've got enough. So, hey, what does it matter? Right? I'll buy a new house. I'll upgrade the house. I'll give some to the kids. All of a sudden, they find themselves a couple of years later with nothing because they've taken those little tiny decisions that all felt like they had plenty of cash at the time and got rid of it. So the very first thing I do is nothing, and probably for about 6 or 12 months. Literally just let it sit there. Unless you're in a particularly important situation. I agree with you, I would pay off the credit card, for example. I'd probably pay off the car loan. But after that, just sit really tight and wait. Pretend it's not there. Get used to having it before you start spending it, because that changes the way you think about how you spend the money and what you do with it. So the first thing is nothing. Second thing I do is I would go and see a financial planner and a fee-for-service financial planner, not one who's going to charge you a percentage of your assets. If you walk in to see a financial planner who's going to charge you a percentage of your assets every year, you're working with a seven-figure balance, I'll bet you their smile's bigger than your smile, right? Because they're going to see this money they're going to get every single year from now forever, all this wonderful money they're getting through the percentage of your assets. Go to a fee-for-service financial planner who's going to charge you by the hour to give you a really, really solid financial plan to understand what you've got, what your debts are, what your opportunities are, what your future obligations are, whether that's kids at school, whether that's retirement, whether that's new cars, all those things they will do for you. And financial planning can be a horrible waste of money if they're going to just skim money off your account year after year after year. But if they're going to give you some really solid structural advice, including things like wills and insurances, those are the really, really important conversations to have. So that's the second thing I do, is go and do that. The third thing is I would then split it up between future spending and today's spending. So if you think about the money you want to spend in 5 and 10 years' time, you've got to make sure the cash is still there. And so again, it changes how much you think you have. This sounds horrible to say, right? But once upon a time, you'd say, well, $1 million will buy me anything in the world. Now $1 million will only just buy you the average house in Sydney. So you want to be careful you don't blow it up all up front. You want to make sure there's some there in 3, 5, and 10 years' time. And that comes down to how well you, yes, invested, but also how you think about how that money goes out the door. And are you spending the capital or are you spending the proceeds from that capital? And that's a very, very different story. You can spend $10 now, or you can spend $1 a year for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very different story. And that's where it's an important distinction and important to understand exactly what you're trying to do.
Cool.
Work for you?
I like the idea of not doing anything.
Get more Motley Fool money advice at fool.com.au/MMM.
Now, we've done don't lose it, or not what not to do. We've done what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about growing the $1 million. Let's talk about being a little bit greedy and maybe a little bit smart.
Mm-hmm.
What if you want to make it $10 million or $50 million? Can you possibly take $1 million and make it an eight-figure number or maybe a nine-figure number? You can probably end up with $20 million maybe at the end of your life if you do something a little bit smart with that cash, mm-hmm. depending on your age now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, money's not just made to be built. It's made to be spent, as my old man would say. Money's made round to go round.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no harm in making it a little bit bigger than $1 million, right? You can give some money to some good causes, leave some money for the family, make some people's lives quite a bit better than they are now, and of course, enjoy it along the way. What are a couple of steps for turning that $1 million into, say, $10 million? Back in our purview of investing specifically, how should you think about investing $1 million and making it something bigger?
Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you can grow your money at 10%,
mm-hmm.
and then you double your money in about 7 years.
Okay, so I have to break that down. How can you just assume that's the case? How do you know that?
Okay, so the markets on average,
mm-hmm.
have delivered over the long term about 10%, 9 to 10%.
And how did you know it would be 7 years? What was the magical math behind
that? It's the magic of 72. So you take the 72, the rule of 72. Take 72 divided by the interest rate or the return rate you're looking at.
Yes.
And then that gives you the number of years it takes to double your money. It actually works remarkably.
This is really cool, right? So it's really cool. 6%. 72 divided by 6 is 12,
yeah.
So it takes you 12 years.
Yeah.
If you get 9%, 72 divided by 9, it takes you 9 years.
Nope.
If you get 15%, you only take 5 years. Good luck with that, by the way. Hmm. But if you only get 2%, it's going to take you 30 years.
Yes, exactly. So it tells you the value of how fast your money is compounding.
Man, that's compound interest, right? Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So I think keeping that if you try it modestly, let's say you get 9%, you get doubling 8 years. If you get 10%, you're doubling every 7 years. So what I think now I try to do is I'd invest basically in shares. I think share market.
Shares only?
Well, in my case, I'm giving a very my specific answer.
Okay. And we can only give general advice, of course.
And in my specific case, I think I'd invest in shares. And maybe I might, if I feel like, if I can afford a property that is overlooking the beach or something, I might.
You might splurge?
I might splurge. I might think about that.
Okay.
But I would actually invest in shares and invest in growth stocks. Mm-hmm. And if I invest in growth stocks, I would think that I could do slightly better than that. If I can get 10, then I can double in 7.
Mm, okay.
In some number of years, in 7 years it becomes 2, and then in 14 it becomes 4, and then in 21 it becomes 8.
So that's the thing. You're not just adding $1 million every 7 years.
Yeah.
The money is compounding and doubling on the new base, right? So it's 1 to 2,
yeah.
2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16, and
16,
so on, right?
And 16 to 32. So, it's very, very possible.
A lot of years, but still. You're a young man.
Yeah, by the time I'm dead, by the time I'm almost dead, I have that fun.
Except if you buy your beach house, that could hurt.
Exactly. So I think it's possible. I would invest. That's mm-hmm. what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I might actually spend some money on, going on a holiday. The other thing actually...
Would you buy me a Tesla?
No.
Oh, okay.
if you give me a raise, I might buy you a Tesla.
we can come to an arrangement off air, mate.
Off air arrangement.
Yeah, we'll have this edited out later.
There's the other thing I would actually not do. I would continue working.
Yeah.
Because if you continue working, your living expenses are all covered. You've got this money on the side, right? And it's great for you to work. You don't get Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. You keep your mind active.
We're lucky, of course, we have jobs we love. So it's easy to say that. I can imagine people listening going,
sure.
My boss is an absolute bastard. There is no chance in hell I'm going to keep working after this.
Well, for those people, I would say find something interesting to do. Maybe contribute something, do some social service, contribute to some cause, something to keep you active and busy. Otherwise, all the time, as you said, you think of spending the money, right? If you do something...
The TV shopping network at 3 a.m. Is even more dangerous when you've got $1 million,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. TV show and online, on the ads that chase you, right? Buy this and buy that and go on this holiday.
Have 84,000 Kogan appliances, the amount of Kogan ads I see.
Yeah, exactly. And go on cruises. Do all those things that you need to do. But you don't have to be a shopaholic, as they say. I'm okay with people shopaholic as long as it's on Amazon.
There we go. Okay.
You're
speaking my language now.
I would control. I'll try to control my spending. Is one of the things I would do. Yeah.
There's a wonderful book called The Millionaire Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really worth it. If you listen as you're listening to this, if it helps kind of put your mindset, your financial mindset in place, it's a really, really positive one because it talks about the author's going to interview some people who are millionaires and they assess kind of the behaviors of those people. And it tends to be most of them still, and this is a US example, so most of them still shop with coupons, so those discount vouchers they get in the mail in the States. Most of them still drive old cars. Most of them still turn off the lights when someone leaves a room. Those habits of thrift and spending carefully don't really leave them. And kind of something that's how you become rich. It's also how you stay rich, right? You don't let your lifestyle, you can almost, there's an old saying which I love, which is happiness is reality divided by expectations, right? The lower your expectations, the better your happiness is because your reality will exceed it most of the time. If you have very high expectations, very, very hard for reality to live up to that and you feel unhappy. If you take that to kind of lifestyle over income, for example, same kind of idea. You know, if your lifestyle changes, your income grows and you've got even more wealth. If your lifestyle grows faster than your income, then that's a one-way ticket to the poorhouse. And that's exactly as we started with, what most people are doing. I'm gonna throw a couple of ideas at you, Doc, in terms of what I do to grow the $1 million. I think the first thing is you want to think about what you want to spend and what you want to grow. If you can at all afford it, and you have a plug for Extreme Opportunities, I'm going to give a plug for Everlasting Income. We run a service, The Motley Fool, which actually has invested $1 million of The Motley Fool's own money, as it turns out. And this wasn't engineered for that purpose, by the way. I only just thought of it. The idea with that service is we actually only spend the dividends. We only spend the income. And that way, we're actually keeping the capital in place to keep generating cash over time. And that's kind of the definition of a productive asset, right? So if you think about the $1 million, as you say, Doc, if you can keep working and not need to spend any of the $1 million for living expenses, then it's free to compound. And so if you think about how that's how you grow it, right? Is investing it, even conservatively, you can get a very nice 6-8% return average and still do exceptionally well over the long term. And maybe you don't get to $10 million in a lifetime, but you get bloody close. If you're not spending any of that cash, or conversely, depending on the circumstances, try and only live out of the income, not the capital. If you consider those as two separate pieces, you've got a capital base of $1 million and you've got an income stream that capital provides. If you can earn 10% a year, that's $100,000 a year, right? If you need all of it, then I guess spend all of it, at least you've got $1 million left over. Or if you can think about splitting it up, give yourself you don't want to be a millionaire and be miserable because you can't afford some nice things in life. So maybe you say, well, look, I'll take 3/4 of what I earn, I'll reinvest, and 1/4 that I'll go and spend, that's $25,000 a year in the back pocket. That buys a couple of nice holidays. It probably buys you a decent car over a couple of years. There's a lot of things you can do with that cash as well. As you said, mate, of keep working either in your current job or find something else you like doing. Start a new career, go and follow a passion or a hobby. There's plenty you can do as long as you keep that capital base pretty well intact. You can achieve almost anything you want. If that never goes away, it is literally the goose that lays the golden egg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eat the eggs, don't kill the goose.
Love that one.
How'd I go?
Awesome.
Now, fools, your job is to start listening to the Triple M network in your capital city. Jump online or jump on the radio. Find Triple M's $1 million giveaway. It is going to be lots of fun. Plus, you'll hear some pretty good presenters and some wonderful music. You won't go wrong with Triple M's $1 million competition. And of course, as part of the Triple M family, we hope our listeners will be the ones who win. We look forward to an email or a tweet from our winning listener who says, guess what? I listened to the Motley Fool podcast. You put me on a Triple M and I'm now $1 million richer. And we'll say congratulations, and we'd like a small commission, please, or at least some sort of gratuity.
A small cut.
By Dr. Tesla.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to the special bonus episode. We hope we've maybe started a few dreams, maybe had a couple of conversations about what you would do if you won $1 million, and also given you a way that you might possibly, just maybe, be able to win that seven-figure sum for yourself. That's it for this week's Motley Fool Money. As always, you can get in touch with us on Twitter, on email. You know the usual channels, info@fool.com.au or @themotleyfoolau. In the meantime, and until you win $1 million, fool on.
Fool on.
The Motley Fool and people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. General advice only. Please speak to your financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your situation. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/triple-m. The Motley Fool operates under Financial Services License 400691.